to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And there is, inevitably, a time for death. And in some ways, it is death that brings us together today. Brings us together, it determines the date, it determines the gathering. But it is Lorraine's life that brings us together. It is her death that makes us a visible community to each other today. And while we may only be visible to each other today, we are bound together by the thread of Lorraine's life that runs through all of our lives and a community far greater than we see here or that we can sense. We are here because there is a time for death. But I have to tell you, this seems like the wrong time. I don't want to be here. I have a feeling in my heart that we just shouldn't be here because she should still be alive. She should still be sitting in her chair in the choir that she loved and singing with a choir that loved her and here and visible in front of all of you, family and friends, whom she loved and who love her. And I use love in the present tense. I have to accept the things that I cannot change. I have to accept Lorraine's wishes, and she grabbed a hold of her dying and her death the way she grabbed a hold of life. She just grabbed at it and exercised her will and her control. And if I'm upset, that's too bad. Because Lorraine was Lorraine. And she did things her way, and that is part of her unique charm and character and what makes her so special to all of us. You can try to give her input, you can try to give her feedback, and she is going to do it her way. Now, I'm playing a little bit with words here just for a moment. She did not want a service for her. So this service isn't for her. It's just really easy. This service is for us. This service, given Unitarian theology, given Jewish theology, is not about the ultimate repose of her soul. She would not want us praying for her. But she would understand our pain. She would understand our sense of loss. She would understand our looking for some way for our souls to be at peace with the reality of the terrible change we have to go through in changing Lorraine from before our eyes to inside our hearts, there to keep her warm and alive forevermore. It is not a trick of linguistics to say also that there is some sense of relief that after she grabbed a hold of her diagnosis and willed how she would spend her final journey, that there is some sense of relief, not that she has stopped living, but that she has stopped dying. And that's not a trick. That's a truth. We may not agree when the living process turns into a dying process at some magical moment, just as there's no magical quarter inch where short becomes tall, but we recognize it. And we recognize near the end that she was near the end. And so she has stopped dying. She is at peace. and we are here to mourn and to celebrate. It was frustrating not to be able to say goodbye. That was part of her choice, that she spent her final times with the nearest of her family and didn't want many of the people who love her to see her in the condition that she was in. And that was a choice, and that's one, again, that we must respect. And I know that it was hard for you who were there, who had to see her in a weakened condition, to have to see her as she journeyed towards the end. Part of grieving, because we do grieve, is a process of taking someone from their last days, that picture that we have in our heads, that picture that we hold for the moment so hard in our hearts, and through the miracle of memory and of sharing activities during her life, sharing with each other, as time goes by, in our hearts, that picture changes. And if I can use the old metaphor of film, the film runs backwards, and her eyes regain their shine, and her spine regains its strength, and her smile beams out again, and we can hear her laughter again in our minds and in our hearts. One of the gifts, I guess, that she gave by choice in being away from so many of her family, so many of her friends in the larger community in the last couple of weeks, was that we don't have that picture in our heads. We've already jumped to another place that's going to take the family longer to get to. My last memory of Lorraine is I was standing out there in the patio. She was standing in the parking lot with that stance that she has and her smile beaming and her eyes lighting up and laughter coming out from that beautiful face. And that's the picture that I keep. And it is a picture that I will keep forever. I would have liked to, many of us would have liked to have had time to say goodbye, to say, Lorraine from our community, Evelyn from other communities, we will miss you. We will miss you. We will love you. And we will not forget you. Not ever. There's an old line in a prayer book, the Union Hebrew Prayer Book of the Reform Movement that I grew up with and that Lorraine was familiar with. And it says something that's always given me a great deal of comfort. It says that our grief is according to our blessing, and tears are the tender tribute of yearning affection for one who is gone but cannot be forgotten. And so we remember. We do not ever forget that thread that connects us with Lorraine. We recognize, however, that that thread has been cut. And what we can do, and that's what that line in Ecclesiastes, a time to rend and a time to sow, is that it was the fashion and still is the fashion in some cultures to tear garments upon death as a sign of despair, to join that with keening and wailing and crying. There is a hole in the fabric of our lives made by the physical absence of Lorraine. But we weave those broken pieces of cloth together through the thread of memory. Memory that is shared. Memory that each of us has that we can gift to others. It's not the same as having her here, but it's the best that we can do through our tears today and through our laughter later, as we hear her laughter. Life is not resume. It's not dates of entry and departure, not jobs held. It's lived with people. It's lived with all of you. Some people, when they saw all of the obituaries, when they saw all of the links, a Wikipedia entry, a half page in the LA Times, weren't surprised that Lorraine was a big deal. They were only surprised that so many people knew it besides us, because she was a very big deal to all of us, to everyone here, with her talent, her humor, her laughter, her seriousness, all of the things that she did. Now, life isn't resume. It's not dates of entry and departure. It's more like a stone, a pebble that's cast on a still pond. It sends out ripples far beyond its apparent points of entry and departure. Those ripples go on and on and on, way past when we can consciously discern it. We sometimes ring a bell as part of our service. It's an Asian tradition. And I invite you to listen to the bell as the sound fades. When does it end? When do the vibrations end? Different place. It's elephant aerobics going on somewhere. I don't think that's San Andreas turning over, if you were worried about the thumping that you hear. I don't have a good explanation, but I'm pretty sure. Well, maybe it's maybe it's Evelyn complaining about, well, this service looks like it's about me. What are you doing here? On the chance that that's not it, let me ring this bell and note, when does the sound go away? When does it go away? When you can't hear it in the back row, you can still hear it in the front row. When you can't hear it without a mic, you can still hear it with a mic. Does that vibration, do all of those vibrations that were her life and her actions, do they go on past when we think we can no longer hear them? Do they fill the room? Do they fill the community? Do they fill hearts that were touched and are still touched by her life? I would like to believe that they do. I would like to believe that we can continue throughout the course of our lives to hear the song of her life in our hearts and let that song change and inspire and influence the song that we sing with our lives. A wonderful Unitarian who is sometimes known as Saint Ralph in Unitarian circles, Ralph Waldo Emerson, wrote the following: to have succeeded, to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty and find the best in others, to leave the world a better place, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. All of us knew her and know her differently. Different parts of her life, different relationships. For Andrea and Kenneth and Murray and Teresa, mother, mother-in-law, friend, grandmother, dancer, singer, activist, educator, a different person, but yet also that thread, that continuity that runs through her life, because I have to believe that she was recognizably Lorraine in every setting, whether singing or dancing or teaching or arguing. I saw a continuity of a person, a complex and wonderful person.